Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes.
Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
Hello, Katie.
Oh, hey, Keith. What's up?
Oh, you know, I'm here hanging out in New York in Billboard's fabulous new office in Times Square. How
are
you?
Yeah, you're right in the middle of things, right where it all happens.
I mean, literally, we're, like, seriously in Times Square. Like, if you look out our windows, you can see the New Year's Eve, you know, ball on one side. And you can see, like, the other end of time. Like, we're literally in Times Square. Like, it's crazy.
It's just TRL late 90s all over again.
Yeah, weirdly, like, Billboard used to be in the same building as TRL, like, 20 years ago, and now it's, like, full circle. We're kind of back in Times Square again, so crazy.
Well, I'm here in beautiful gray Los Angeles, where it's raining. It's been raining since you left.
Yeah, well, you know, it never rains in Southern California, except
when it does.
Except when it does. Well, as always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop and weather on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop.
This week, we've got chart news about Post Malone and Swae Lee, A Boogie with a Hoodie, Benny Blanco, plus news about Alicia Keys hosting the Grammy Awards, Selena Gomez's return to Instagram, and the tragic passing of theater legend Carol Channing.
Plus, we've got an interview with Gray. The brother duo of Kyle and Michael Trewatha stopped by recently to chat about their brand new single, Want You Back, their reaction to their three Grammy Award nominations for the runaway hit The Middle, and more, including how they are doing something they've never really done before on record or live, sing. Yes, really. So stick around for that a little bit later. But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts. All right, let's hit three of the biggest headlines on the charts. First up, Post Malone notches his third number one on the Billboard Hot 100 as Sunflower with Swae Lee tops the chart. It's also the first leader for Lee. The song, which is from the soundtrack to the hit animated film Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, is the highest charting song from any Spider-Man film, having surpassed the number three peak of Hero from the 2002 Spider-Man movie. And of course, that song was by Chad Kroeger featuring Josie Scott.
Of course.
Now, of course. I mean, that's one of your favorite songs, right, Katie?
I just thought it was by Nickelback, if I'm being honest.
Really?
Yes.
Oh. Well, maybe a fair amount of other people thought it was also by Nickelback, too. If you thought it was, I don't know. Well, anyway, back to our regularly scheduled chart notes. Sunflower also breaks into the top 10 on the all-genre radio songs chart, rising 14 to 10. It jumps 2 to 1 on the streaming songs chart and holds at number 1 for a second week on the digital song sales chart. I was wondering this, and this is not part of our notes, but I was asking Gary Trust, who manages the Hot 100, I said, oh, hey, Gary, is this the first time, like, a song from a Marvel Cinematic Universe movie has gone to number one? And he said, well, I don't think this movie counts as part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, or the MCU, as, you know, those in the know call it. And I said, but really, isn't Spider-Man a Marvel character? And that's when I found it fell into a rabbit hole. And Katie can appreciate this because I tend to do this. It turns out Spider-Man is not really technically fully part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe because of some sort of like rights and legal thing where like Marvel doesn't have the full rights to Spider-Man. It's sort of like they have to license out the character sometimes. It's a little bit confusing. So yeah, this isn't technically a full-fledged Marvel Cinematic Universe movie. Who knew?
Well, yeah, there's all these other Spider-Man movies, the, you know, Spider-Man Homecoming, and then there's one, I forget what it's called, maybe Spider-Man Far From Home, that's coming out this spring, mm-hmm. and those ones starring Tom Holland, and that's who's he's, like, in the Avengers movies and stuff, so, like, those, I guess, are considered part of that, but the animated one isn't? I don't know.
Well, I'm checking. I'm checking, and it sounds like you just knocked over a whole bunch of stuff over there.
No, I just am shuffling my script.
Well, boy, on this on this, and in New York, the sound quality is so high, I hear everything you do.
Yikes.
Evidently, Spider-Man Far From Home and Spider-Man Homecoming are part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but this particular animated film Into the Spider-Verse isn't technically part of it. Oh, God, I don't know. Marvel
I feel
fans.
Like we just fell into the Spider-Verse by having this conversation.
Did we fall into the web of confusion?
Yes.
That Spidey has... Oh, Marvel fans that happen to listen to the podcast, feel free to tweet us and correct us if we're wrong, because I would like to know this, because it's very confusing. Okay, moving on. Next, rapper A Boogie With Da Hoodie climbs to number one on the Billboard 200 albums chart with Hoodie Season, earning 58,000 equivalent album units in the week ending January 10th, according to Nielsen Music. Notably of that sum, just 1,000 were in album sales. The rest of the units were comprised primarily of units derived from streaming activity for the album. Now that's pretty standard these days, considering a lot of hip-hop albums are very streaming-driven and don't sell a whole lot of albums in terms of traditional album sales. Interestingly, that 1,000 sum is the smallest number of sales that a number one album has registered since the Billboard 200 began ranking titles by consumption units in late 2014. Before that, it was just an album sales chart. And then after that, after December 2014, it began ranking albums, you know, based on a blend of album sales, streaming activity, and track equivalent albums, you know, a very sort of fancy recipe in order to produce the top most popular albums of the week. It's interesting because, you know, the most popular album of the week just sold very little, but it also says something about how, you know, streaming has dominated hip-hop in such a forceful way in the past few years, and it is such, like, a non-issue. It's like something that hip-hop fans don't even really think about. Like, it seems like they don't even buy albums so much anymore.
Yeah, it's just how they listen now.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean that this is the top-selling album of the week. The top-selling album of the week is actually Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born soundtrack, and it sold 21,000 copies this week. So the top-selling album still sold 21,000 copies, which is still obviously a small number in the grand scheme of things. But the most popular album of the week, A Boogie's album, only sold 1,000 copies. So, you know, the times, they are, well, a-changin'. Moving on, hit songwriter and producer Benny Blanco hits the top 10 on the Hot 100 for the first time as an artist with Eastside. The track features Halsey and Khalid on vocals. Now, Blanco has written and or produced more than 50 hits on the Hot 100 for other acts, but this is just the second time he's charted as the credited artist on a song, and as we already mentioned, this is his first time visiting the top 10 as an artist. Katie, do you want to guess how many top 10s he's now earned as a songwriter?
Well, I just feel like a lot of Ed Sheeran songs are
going
to be there.
Yeah.
My guess would be 15.
27.
Whoa.
Kind of a few. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to have Benny Blanco's money, or talent, for that matter. And, you know, he's actually produced 26 top 10s. Now, he didn't necessarily produce every song he wrote, hence the difference in totals. For example, he co-wrote Maroon 5's top 10 hit Animals, but he didn't actually produce it. Conversely, all 26 of the top 10s that he produced, he also had a writing credit on. Among the songs he's written include a bevy of number ones, including Kesha's TikTok, Katy Perry's California Girls, Maroon 5's Moves Like Jagger, Rihanna's Diamonds, Justin Bieber's Love Yourself. It's kind of overwhelming, the hit-making power that Mr. Blanco has. Fun fact, and I sort of mentioned this obliquely, on Eastside, Benny Blanco doesn't have any vocals, though he is credited as the artist. It's kind of like a...
Mark Ronson?
I guess so. It's kind of like a Ronson or like, you know, in a weird tangential thing, like a DJ Khaled sort of thing. I mean, obviously the difference is Benny Blanco, you know, really has a hand in, you know, the instrumentation and the production.
I think Mark Ronson is probably the good analogy because it's like he created this whole song and then had vocalists sing on it.
Right. Yeah. DJ Khaled isn't exactly the best kind of parallel there, but, you know, it's in the same sort of world-ish kind of. But yeah, that's it for the amazing chart news this week.
Let's move on to some news over from Billboard.com, including the biggest news of Tuesday morning, that Alicia Keys will be hosting the 2019 Grammy Awards.
Wow.
It's very interesting news. Like, I can envision it, but, you know, you don't think of Alicia in a hosting role, you know?
No.
But at the same time, she's so charismatic and an incredible speaker and is so heartfelt that it feels like a pretty, pretty good choice.
Also a multi-Grammy award winner herself.
Yes, 15-time Grammy winner, actually. She posted a video of the moment that she found out that she'd been picked to host the show, captioning the clip, "I'm so excited to announce that I'll be hosting the 61st Annual Grammy Awards. There's so much in store, and I can't wait for y'all to see it all come to life." In the 9-minute video, Keys hops on a phone call and gets the big news from her manager, Johnny Wright. He says to her, "What would you say if I told you that you have a chance to host the whole damn thing?" And then Alicia responds, "Wait, what? Are you serious?" She then begins dancing and shouting before joking, "Wait, what if I don't want to do it?"
Yeah, why were you recording the video if you weren't going to do it, Alicia?
I'm guessing Johnny told her assistant, "Record this in case she says yes."
Yeah, maybe.
But she also had a statement about the news saying, "I know what it feels like to be on that stage, and I'm going to bring that vibe and energy. I'm so excited to be the master of ceremonies on the biggest night in music and celebrate the creativity, power, and magic. I'm especially excited for all the incredible women nominated this year. It's going up on February 10th. Not down.
It's going up."
It's going up. And as she said, the 61st Grammy Awards will air on Sunday, February 10th on CBS at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. for us here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I'm super pumped about this.
I'm super pumped, too, because that means you or I may actually talk to Alicia Keys on the night
exactly.
of the Grammy Awards. At the
exactly.
Grammys.
Yeah, they're usually cool and have the host come through before the show even. So,
oh, yeah.
That would be awesome. Our next headline is that Selena Gomez returned to Instagram on Monday to wish everyone a happy new year and reflect on her past few months. The post marks her first Instagram appearance since September 23rd, when she let fans know that she was taking a social media break. Shortly after, she reportedly entered a treatment facility for anxiety and depression, though she is yet to speak publicly about that. Her Monday message to fans, however, was upbeat and looking forward to 2019.
Can I just pause for a second?
Yes.
So, okay. Can we put this in context of why we care at all about Selena Gomez returning to Instagram? Is she still the most followed person on Instagram?
She isn't anymore. So she was as of September when she stepped away.
Okay.
And she actually lost that title in October, and which was exactly when she was getting treatment. And, you know, and obviously people stopped checking in on her because she said she was taking a break. And Cristiano Ronaldo, the soccer player, is who took over that most followed on Instagram title.
But do we know, and I hate to put you on the spot, is she still the most followed musical artist?
Oh, as far as I know, but I don't know that offhand. I only know that that Cristiano like jumped her, so I don't know if anybody else came in above her since
then. The point is, she's hugely influential on Instagram, and her breaking her silence is a big deal.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's also, I mean, people have just been waiting to hear anything from her and to hear this super, you know, positive message, which I will now share with you.
Okay,
Selena wrote, quote, "It's been a while since you have heard from me, but I wanted to wish everyone a happy new year and to thank you for your love and support. Last year was definitely a year of self-reflection, challenges, and growth. It's always those challenges which show you who you are and what you are capable of overcoming. Trust me, it's not easy, but I am proud of the person I am becoming and look forward to the year ahead. Love you all." You know, though she stepped away from social media, it's not like she's disappeared from the spotlight altogether. She actually had her collaboration with DJ Snake, Cardi B, and Ozuna called Talkie Talkie that came out in September, and it's so far peaked at number 11 on the Billboard Hot 100, and it's topped both the Hotland Songs and Latin Airplay charts. And the video came out while she was, you know, away from social media as well. So, you know, people have been hearing and seeing Selena since then. And she was also photographed last month, her first like public appearance, when she was out snow tubing with her friends, which looked really awesome right before Christmas.
I wonder if, I mean, obviously she was taking a break for social media for a very specific and personal reason, though. I wonder, you know, will more artists just kind of take, you know, cues from people like Beyonce or like Frank Ocean, who are just like, look, I'm just not going to share much of anything in terms of statements or anything aside from maybe the occasional photo without a caption, you know, when and if I desire to choose to do so. Because I think it just in this day and age, social media is just so weird and it can do such a trip, especially on celebrities. So like maybe it's better to like take a step back. You know?
Well, and I don't want to pretend like, you know, I know what's going on in Selena's brain, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, the relationship that she has with her fans is pretty unique because she grew up with them and has been active on social media since she was, you know, a teenager. And I think that she probably feels like she owes it to these people that she's cultivated this relationship with to like keep them posted and keep them involved in her life. And that's probably a detrimental thing to her. And so the fact that she was allowed to just step back or allowed herself to step back is probably really healthy. And, you know, now she's back.
Yeah.
So, and hopefully that means new music soon, but we'll keep you posted on that front. A little sad news to end my Pop Shop news segment. Carol Channing, the musical comedy star who delighted American audiences over almost 5,000 performances as Dolly Levi and Hello Dolly on Broadway and beyond, has died at age 97.
Hello, Harry. Well, hello, Louie. It's so nice to be back home where I belong. You're looking swell.
Her publicist said that Channing died of natural causes early Tuesday morning in Rancho Mirage, California. She had twice suffered strokes in the last year. In addition to her Broadway legacy, Channing often appeared on television and in nightclubs, for a time partnering with George Burns in Las Vegas and for a national tour. She made only a few movies, notably The First Traveling Sales Lady with Ginger Rogers and Thoroughly Modern Millie with Julie Andrews. Over the years, Channing continued as Dolly in national tours, the last in 1996 when she was in her 70s.
Sure.
So that is her. I mean, it's just her role. It always has been.
It is one of those was one of those roles that is so closely identified with one specific performer.
Yep.
And that's, I mean, I don't know how rare that is because I'm not a musical theater expert by any stretch of the imagination. But when you mention the words Carol Channing, you think Hello Dolly and vice versa.
Yep.
A chart tidbit, Katie and I were talking about this earlier, the Hello Dolly cast album, of which obviously Carol Channing was a huge part of, hit number one on the Billboard 200 chart back in 1964. So though she wasn't credited as, you know, the artist for that album, obviously she was the driving force behind its success. So she has a bit of a, you know, chart trivia history behind her as well.
Indeed.
And now it's time for our interview with Gray. The brother duo of Gray blew up big time in 2018 with their smash single, The Middle, with Zedd and Maren Morris. And now they are back with, believe it or not, their first single since The Middle was released a full year ago. Their new track, Want You Back, features vocalist Leon, depends on how you pronounce it. There's an accent on the E, and I apologize, Leon, in advance if I have mangled that pronunciation. This promises to be the first of a lot of new music from the duo. We chatted with the guys about the production of Want You Back and how they thought the single felt like future pop, they say. We also asked them about their reaction to their Grammy Award nominations for The Middle and how they're about to do something they've never done professionally before, sing on record and in front of people. So, take a listen to our interview with Gray.
Like a coat that I sold in the summer, and I'm cold and I want you back. Want you back. Like an old baby doll that some other kid stole, I want you back.
Welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, Gray.
Hello.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Kyle and Michael, thanks for doing this. And first off, congratulations on your 3 Grammy Award nominations.
Woo!
For The Middle, for Best Pop Duo Group Performance, Song of the Year, and Record of the Year. Though it has been a few weeks since the nominations came out, full disclosure, we're actually recording this kind of right after the Grammy nominations have come out. But by the time you're hearing it, they've been out for a little bit.
Correct. Mm.
But we're still getting a fresh reaction from you two.
Yes.
So how does it feel to have these 3 Grammy nominations, your first Grammy nominations?
So insane. We did not think we'd even get nominated whatsoever.
This is Michael talking, by the way.
This is Michael talking, yeah. Just crazy.
And then to be in Song and Record of the Year specifically is insane.
Yeah, when I was finding out the first nomination, I was like, oh, that's so crazy. What the hell? Freaking out. And then the second one, I was like, wait, what? There's a second one?
It keeps going.
And I looked further and then I saw the Pop Duo thing and I was like, wait, oh my gosh, this is so crazy. It
just keeps going. Yeah. The song, which you performed alongside Zedd and Maren Morris and also co-wrote and co-produced, premiered in January of 2018, and its official music video premiered during the Grammy Awards that same month. So it's like a full circle moment now to have these, for a song that you kind of premiered officially to the world during the Grammy Awards is now being recognized at the next Grammy Awards.
Yeah,
that's weird.
Have you picked out your outfits already?
We're actually looking at Dior's new line.
Oh.
It might be cool.
You have that power now, after. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I don't know. Our stylist was like, yeah, you guys should wear this.
See, the fact that you have a stylist, that means things have changed a lot.
She started out doing our stuff for our music videos, and we've kind of just taken her.
And kept her.
You stole her.
You've retained her.
Yeah, she lives in.
She lives at your apartment. Great. She's never going to get out. The song actually finished 2018 as the number 8. This is chart stuff. Billboard, because we have charts.
He's the co-director of charts, so he'll give you the chart stats now.
Senior director.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It's a relatively recent new title. So the song finished 2018 as the number 8 biggest song on Billboard's year-end Hot 100 chart. The number 2 song of the year on our year-end pop songs chart, meaning it was the number 2 biggest song on Top 40 radio. And the number 1 hot dance electronic song of 2018. And it also had more weeks at number 1 on that chart than any other song in history.
That's all.
So basically you can kind of retire now, right? You're buying houses and stuff. How has your life changed in the past 12 months since it's been effectively a year since The Middle came out?
I think we've actually been spending a lot of our time focusing on singing. Because we're actually going to be moving into singing on our own stuff, so...
Which would surprise people, right? Because you haven't... Have you done a lot of singing previously?
No. So Michael's never sang his life, actually, until this. We started taking lessons probably 3 or 4 months ago.
Oh, wow.
Are both of your vocals on The Middle somewhere?
No, so our vocals aren't on The Middle.
Okay.
But
they were on Starving.
They were on Starving.
Okay.
Very hidden.
They were very... But, under Haley somewhere in
there. Yeah. I know that's not really the answer you were going for. There's not much has really changed for us, actually, other than just we're shifting our focus a little bit and trying mm-hmm. to focus on singing instead of producing.
Has it been easy to sort of focus considering all the success around the song? Are you just like, nope, everything's the same. We're the same folks we were a year ago.
Yeah, our friends actually don't really care about
that's kind of good
of our success
even they, better
like, yeah like all of our friends don't really care so nothing really changes in our life that's what I found at least
like professionally things have changed obviously
yeah like professionally it gets easier to work with people who we want to work with and that's all really cool but when it comes to our like everyday life nothing changes
you're like nope I'm still the same person
couple more Snapchats sent.
Just social media changes a little bit.
Yeah.
People sending them at a club, listening to The Middle just every day.
It's like, yes, The Middle is still playing. Yeah. It's playing somewhere right now. Yeah. Wherever you are at, it's playing somewhere.
Well, you have a new song that's out now called Want You Back.
Yep.
Yes.
And is that your first single since The Middle?
Yes.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
It's been so long.
Yeah. It took like a year off.
And how did that all come together?
Yeah.
We got a demo from these writers named Callie and Joe, and it was really up our alley. It just felt like future pop. And then we did a version of it probably a year ago, actually. We've just been working, trying to, I don't know, get it into the right spot for a while, and then mm-hmm. we got Leon. We've been like listening to Leon for a while, and we're really into her stuff.
She's the vocalist
yeah.
on the song.
Yeah,
you're already a fan of hers in some capacity beforehand.
Yeah, we'd been listening to her music for months, and we're like, man, she's so good. She sounds like the Swedish Adele or something. Mm.
her voice is super. There's a certain kind of, and I don't know if that's how she normal. I'm not super familiar with her, but the way she sings the song. There's a certain kind of the way she phrases words and mm-hmm. the way that she had the tone in her voice is very distinct.
Yeah.
Is that how she normally sings or is that kind of specific to this song? Oh, okay. She mm-hmm. has a beautiful
it's a
voice.
Very, like Swedish accent.
Swedish pop. You can't go wrong with that.
You can't. No? It's our favorite.
Definitely not.
For sure.
did she record her part in Sweden or Stockholm or did she come here and do it with? Like with
no,
you
we
guys.
We did in LA together.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
A little bit different than Stockholm.
Mm-hmm.
I have a side story about going to Stockholm and seeing the studio where Max Martin produced Britney and NSYNC. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even look like a studio. It's not even a studio anymore.
And the ABBA Museum too.
Oh, I went to the ABBA Museum too. It's amazing.
Crazy.
Sorry, this podcast is not about me. But just saying, go to Stockholm if you haven't been there.
Yeah. So you said you'd already heard of her, but then did you, you know, pursue her to be on the song or how did that happen?
Yeah, we kind of just asked our manager to go.
Like,
I feel like we
can
also
you make the
scouted out.
Yeah.
Kind of interesting story. This is Michael speaking. We were at a Katy Perry concert, and we ran into Chris Anacute. Anacute.
Yeah.
And he manages Leon, and I think he used to manage Katy Perry.
Yeah.
Sure. But our roommate happened to be friends with him, and we met and exchanged numbers, and that kind of helped with the process of getting her on the song because we became good friends with him.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
That's awesome.
Was it like did you immediately know like when she got on the track? Was it just like, oh, this is it. Like we got this. This is perfect.
Yeah.
Like the first
the answer is yes.
Yeah, 100%.
The first take of us recording her in the studio was just like, okay, this is insane. She's just perfect.
Yeah. Wow. Is she on other music that you may be working on? I know we're talking about this one song, but you know, you guys have done a lot of music in the past with lots of other folks and lots of other vocalists.
Yeah.
Is she collaborating with you on other things too?
No, just this for now. Like I said, now that we're focusing on our own vocals, mm-hmm. we're going to be most of the stuff that we're going to be putting out after this is going to be us.
The track has sort of, when I've listened to it, it has this, like, I have words written down. It has this punchy, percolate-y, poppy vibe to it.
Percolate-y. I like that word.
The triple P's.
Yeah, I was going for the alliteration there of the PPP. And I find myself, and I was literally, like, knocking my head to the right and left when I'm supposed to in the song, if that makes sense. Because of the way you've built the song, it has this sort of the synth part comes in and you think it's going to go like blah, yeah. And it immediately pulls you back.
Yep.
Pulls you back, wants you back. And then it sort of gets closer and then it comes back. And it never kind of hits you over the head. It's always like this sort of give and take. Can you talk about sort of the production of the song and why you kind of wanted to structure the song the way you did and the way it sounds?
Yeah, I think the best art like sets you up with an expectation and then breaks it.
Mm.
Like the best movies and the best comedy, you know. Like if you're listening to comedy and you know what the punchline is about to be, it's probably not that funny, right?
Yeah.
So that's how we kind of approach music a lot of the time. It's like coming up to the second verse. Yeah, that's probably the moment you're talking about. Like the second verse just sucks right back in. Mm-hmm. We love moments like that. What do you want to say production-wise? Like, there's lots of moments in this song. I don't know if you noticed that the production references what the lyrics are saying. We've been doing that a lot more and more.
We were actually talking about the fact that the lyric seems, you know, almost like melancholy, like yearning for a relationship back, but then the production seems upbeat. So it's interesting you say that. Yeah. You know, it seems like a juxtaposition.
Yeah. That's on purpose, too.
Yeah.
Like, there's just a lot of hidden stuff. Like, when it says running over red lights the first time, there's a, like, car zooming by. Mm. And at the start of the second verse, it says, like, a float in the ocean, and we have, like, bubbles.
Hmm.
There's, like, a bunch of, like, hidden little Easter eggs.
Like, not obvious, but if when, like, on repeat listens.
Hopefully people pick it up, because,
That's fun.
Yeah.
Well, it makes it, I think you guys have talked about that, I think, before in reference to the middle, which is... I mean, it's hard not to talk about the middle, I realize.
Yeah.
But I think you had talked about how you like sort of interesting sounds and unexpected kind of effects that you wouldn't think would necessarily work in a song.
Oh, yeah, you said cinematic specifically, like, you know, the sound
the,
of
the wood chopping,
axe.
The axe.
Yeah, especially in pop radio. Like,
it's sort of...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot different to hear those type of things on a pop radio song because people aren't willing to, like, take the risk, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
so it's cool to have that in there.
Do you think that's changing now, like to a degree, because of you guys to a certain degree?
Yeah, I would say so. Maybe, yeah, because it just really does stand out when you use like Foley and like a lot of the samples we use are made for movies. Yeah, so like
from like a kit or like that you sample it from a like a effect from a movie that.
Oh,
you watched?
No! I mean, there's sample packs that are made for movies.
Oh, I see.
Hmm.
And we tend to use those even when they don't seem musical, like the wood chopping thing. Like, you know, you wouldn't think of that as being in a song, but you hear it on the radio, you're like, what was that? So,
right. But it also, it's funny, like it almost like, because you're hearing it on the radio, your brain tricks you into thinking it's just like, it's just another beat or whatever.
Yeah.
But then when you actually dissect it, it's like, oh my God, that's how they like made that effect.
Yeah, exactly.
So, that's cool.
Yeah.
The Bieber song with the one with the dolphin.
Oh, what you're thinking that? Of
oh, the goat.
You're thinking of Skrillex and Diplo.
Yeah, Skrillex,
the,
Diplo, Bieber with
Where are you now?
But it had a dolphin sound. Everyone was like,
that thing. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, that one.
But it's a vocal. It's actually a vocal.
It's a vocal.
Maybe it sounds like a dolphin.
That's been pitched into
a
dolphin. It was Bieber. It was Bieber's vocal
sure.
That was sort of manipulated. But I think people are just more accepting now of like interesting sounds.
Yeah,
as opposed to just you know, oh, it's a guitar and drums. And stuff.
I would say so for sure.
Yeah, like talkie, you know.
Oh yeah.
Good example. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As long as there's still like a core great melody and hook and song there.
Then you can be a little bit weird.
That's the other thing about Want You Back is like there's so many interesting bits throughout the entire song. It keeps your attention.
Yeah.
Like we were talking about Hey Ya the other day and how that whole song is just so many interesting moments with a really great song at the core of it, which is what, you know, Want You Back is like. It's a very catchy song, but also it's always like pinging your brain, like your little lights are going off, like, oh, what's that? What's that? What's that?
Little drips of serotonin.
Yeah.
Dopamine. Here you go.
I'm super curious, like, since you mentioned that you guys are going to focus on vocals, like the fact that, first of all, Kyle, how long have you been singing? It sounded like it's new for Michael, but...
Well, I
not
mean,
that much longer.
Well, no, I mean, I've been in choirs my whole life and stuff, but I just never practiced really.
Like, so it was just like a thing you did, but not like work.
Yeah, like it was like a period in class or whatever, I would have like one period where I would sing or something like that. But
it's not like
I ever like tried really hard to get good at singing.
So what's it like now to like take lessons and really try to focus on like, you know, finding your voice basically?
It's really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It, to me, like half of the fun part too is this, the production part of the vocals, I guess. Like, it's just such a puzzle for us to, I don't know, like record a bunch of takes and then and then put it in the song and find out what works and effects. And like, I just like the whole part of it. It's not just the singing. It's like the way that you record the singing is equally as fun, you know?
I think because we're new to it, we're really like excited about the process of editing our own vocals. Usually people hate that process. And, like, Pro Tools.
But it's fun for us.
It's really fun for us.
Yeah.
And you can do second takes very easily.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, actually, this is Michael speaking. We actually, instead of having to go into the studio and have like an engineer there to like kind of judge us in our singing because we were kind of nervous to sing in front of people, we just got all of the gear at our own house and just made a little vocal booth in his closet.
Yeah.
And then just got everything we needed that was just good enough. And then, so we could just do it alone, just us two.
Yeah.
Have you, forgive me, and I should know this, have you sung live in front of like a proper audience as Gray yet?
There was like a
UMPG like showcase.
Writers
like,
showcase.
Yeah. But like internally, like for writers and
yeah, just for writers. No.
Which
so
is
nothing.
Almost worse. Because they're all
no
like,
pressure.
Because they're all talented. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was like the first time I've ever been singing in front of anyone.
How did that go?
Wow.
Well, he had to sing the middle, which
that's so
unfair.
Because
they were like,
it was really high.
they're like, we want you guys to sing one song that's like obviously very popular and then one song that's new. So I got to sing like one of the songs that I've written recently.
So you got the easy gig almost because they hadn't heard that before.
Yeah, they never heard that. But like I've never sang in front of anyone in my life. So I was just like so nervous. Oh, man.
Did it go over well though, do you think?
Yeah, overall it was good. Yeah. But
my girlfriend was in the audience and I was like, hey guys, this song, like this next song is a... I wrote this song about my girlfriend. She's actually right here. And then I literally started off with the wrong lyric, like two, like the second lyric, and then I just had to restart. I was like, and I was just like so red and nervous, and I was just like, I have to restart. And then I looked at him, and he was just like, "What's going on? What are you doing?" And he's just like pressing his play. He's like, "Just go."
Exaggerating. It was all right.
It was probably like 10 seconds of like weird, but then
it's a safe space. You're with your peers, at least.
So embarrassing. Inside your head, you made it think like it was a much bigger
deal. Felt like a couple hours.
Turns out it was like about 4 seconds. Right. I'm like, can you restart? All right, I gotcha. And then we're moving on.
Do you have any idea when you might be releasing anything that has your vocals on it?
Probably around March or April.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Kind of depends on Want You Back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Sure.
It does really well and it takes a...
You need a full year just like the metal for everyone to process it.
So come next January.
Yeah, we'll be talking again.
We'll get the third single.
No,
we're
going to
have
some...
way more music out next year than this year.
Yeah, we have like 13, 14 songs done.
Yeah.
Is the intention to have like a body of work, like an album or something?
I don't know how we're going to release it, like what it will be called or how it'll be packaged, but we have 14 songs.
Wow. Because because now it's just so hard to tell what an album is. I mean, like the Chainsmokers are doing this really weird thing where they're kind of like reverse engineering an album where they're kind of like putting out a handful of songs at a time and like dribbling them out as part of a concept.
There are no rules anymore.
Like Selena Gomez has put out like 8 singles in the past like 2 years, and she's like, album schmalbum, I'll get to it when I want. And you know, a lot of sort of kind of dance artists, we still consider you as a dance artist because
that's fine,
right?
You want.
Dance pop, you know, acoustic folk, you know, bluegrass, I don't know what's up your sleeve. As sort of singles driven artists, so it's interesting that, you know, there's maybe a body of work that we might get from you down the road in some capacity.
I think that in order for a body of work to actually be congested correctly, like, you need a full fan base that's like hardcore. That's gonna want to listen to it. And I think right now we don't really have that core fan base.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be kind of weird to put out a body of work where people are just like, "Who are you?"
Yeah,
and they don't want to listen to it. I don't know.
It's tricky though, because if you put out a single every 2 months, that will take 2 years to release an album. Yeah. You know? Right. Yeah. It's just crazy.
There's no rules.
Yeah.
Are there shows that we can talk about? Or is the intention, again, people are hearing this right after the songs come out, are there going to be shows or tour or performances?
Yeah, in spring. We'll be probably opening up for someone in spring and then go from there.
When you say probably, does that mean that the deal's already done? No.
It's not finalized yet.
It's not, but something, some person that we have heard of, maybe. Yeah.
And then we can hear your vocals live.
Yeah.
That'll be exciting.
No pressure.
I hope you hear it not live before live.
Yeah.
Not live before live?
Like, you, like not like, see,
I hope you
like
hear the
a...
I hope you hear the recording.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes. Yeah, got it.
I was thinking you want us to see, like, don't see like a YouTube video, like actually see us in person.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Anything else? What have I missed anything?
I don't think so. It sounds like we are in for a lot of gray next year.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
Good
or
luck
I should
on
say this year. We're
this,
talking
this year. We are technically in 2019 now, right, as you hear this, even though we're recording this before Christmas. Well, good luck on everything this year, and much success to you guys.
Awesome.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks to Gray for coming by and sitting down with us. Congratulations on the release of Want You Back, and good luck at the Grammy Awards. And now let's do the chart stat of the week. Red wine. Ten years ago this week, Lady Gaga topped the Billboard Hot 100 chart for the very first time, as Just Dance boogied its way to number one. The song, featuring Colby O'Donis, climbed to the top of the list dated January 17th, 2009, and spent a total of 3 weeks at number one. It's been 10 years, Katie. Does it seem like 10 years?
Well, I haven't heard the name Colby O'Donis in a while. That feels like 10 years ago.
This wasn't an invitation to shade Colby. Jeez, Katie.
No shade. No shade. Just telling you facts.
that is a name from the past, yes. But it doesn't say, I mean, it doesn't seem like 10 years of Lady Gaga, but it has been. The track marked Gaga's first Hot 100 hit of her 30 so far to date through this podcast recording, and her first of three number ones. She also topped the tally with Poker Face and Born This Way. Fun bonus fact, Born This Way was also the 1,000th number one single on the Hot 100 chart.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Gaga most recently visited the top 10 of the Hot 100 with her Golden Globe-winning song Shallow with Bradley Cooper from their film A Star Is Born. So there you have it. 10 years ago this week, Lady Gaga just danced her way to number one on the Hot 100 chart. Just dance.
Red okey-dokey. One.
Convict Gaga. Oh.
What a career trajectory this woman has had. I mean, to look at, it's exactly 10 years ago from Just Dance, and she's like a month away from the possibility of, you know, winning an Oscar. It's nuts. Like, the whole thing is nuts.
Winning an Oscar or two, possibly.
Or two. Maybe some Grammys also to add to her collection.
It's just redonkulous.
It truly is.
Gaga, if you're listening, we would love to have you on the Pop Shop again.
We need to formally ask this woman, as opposed to just sending her messages through the podcast, hoping she might listen till the end.
Yeah, I guess actually emailing, you know, her and her representatives might actually be more forceful.
We'll get at you.
Yeah, we'll send you a DM, Gaga. Can we make it happen? All right, so what song should we go out on?
Oh, maybe something from Gaga.
Sure. Okay.
Obviously not Just Dance, because we just heard that, but
I'll let you pick.
Okay, we're gonna go out on Alejandro.
Okay.
I love it so much.
All right, see you guys next time.
Bye. Don't go my name.
Hello, Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.